Don't be ignorant. Don't be fooled. Don't be misled. And those four things are, don't be ignorant about God's plan for Israel, which is in Romans 11:25. Don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts, which we've been preaching on for a while on Sundays, from 1 Corinthians 12:1. Don't be ignorant about the suffering and trials of the Christian life, 2 Corinthians 1:8. And don't be ignorant about the second coming of Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And so you kind of see that Paul, these are four things that the early church was struggling with, that they were misconfused, you know, people around them, culture. It's no different today, right? Today, we still live in a world where people are ignorant about these things, where the world and the church are ignorant about Israel and its place. And I'm saying the church because there's such a divide about what is the purpose of Israel, you know? And we're not going to get into that because that's not what this verse is about. But, you know, there is such a divide there. Even within the church, we can't decide. But if you look beyond the church, if you just look, if you walk down the streets in the United States and you ask someone what their view on Israel is, you're going to have such a vast variety of views. And you don't have that about that many countries, actually, right? I mean, just a few big ones. And then you have the small country of Israel, which is small. And there's such varying views. I'm not, spiritual gifts, P. Sam's doing, and the other pastoral staff is doing a great job talking about that. You know, suffering and trials, right? That's another place that today, you know, people cry out to God all the time, why did you let this happen? Or why am I going through this? You know, and Paul wants to clear that up, but which leads into this concept of pain and suffering, right? You know, there's this idea of death, mourning. I can just imagine someone might have passed away in their community. I mean, I don't know the complete background off the top of my head. But they may have been mourning in a way that Paul's like, hey, don't mourn like someone who's not a believer. Because we have hope. We have hope. We know what's coming. Right? And think about today, how many people are so ignorant about death? You know, so ignorant about what will happen. You know, many people in the world today believe you just, that's it. There's no more. You just die and that's it. You end. Or you have reincarnation or, you know, you get your own planet or, you know, something of, there's so many different views about death. And Paul understood that this was something we needed to remember and understand what's going to happen when Jesus returns. Now, part of what was going on is they were so afraid that because they truly believed that they were going to see in their life on earth, they were going to see Jesus' return. And they were concerned about their brothers and sisters who had passed away before Jesus came back. What were they going to miss out? And Paul was like, no, they're not going to miss out. Actually, they're going to be the first to be reunited with Jesus. Then those who are left on earth, they will then be taken to Jesus as well. And so even though these were believers, there was something that seemed to be amiss in their understanding, or maybe they hadn't been clearly taught yet what would happen. And so Paul is clearly laying out the foundation of the second coming of Jesus and us being resurrected with Christ. And during that time, there was, if you actually read different literature and different poetry and the philosophers of that time, you would read things like, death is so final, death is so long, death is XYZ. And Paul is trying to make sure that this Christian group is not influenced by death. You know, last night I was thinking about, God brought this name to my mind. And this is a friend I had growing up. We weren't close. I might have shared about her before. We weren't like best friends. We didn't go to the same school, but we played on the same softball team, church softball teams in the summer. Can I tell you, church softball teams are some of the worst. We are the most mean towards each other. We like beat on, not literally beat, but like we just yell such trash talk. But this girl, Annie was her name. And she and I were on a middle school softball church team. Our two churches combined together to play against other churches. And she was the sweetest person. I just remember Annie being just so kind. And our brothers played on a high school team together. And so when we weren't playing, we were on the field. We were usually sitting together in the bleachers. And I remember coming to school because she went to our city has lots of Christian schools and they're all connected. And so I went to one school and she went to a different. And I remember coming to school one morning and finding out Annie had died. I was in 7th or 8th grade. It was 1996. Actually, no, I might have been in 6th grade. It was 1996. I only know because I looked it up last night because I was trying to remember the story again. And she really wanted to go snowmobiling with her friends. And her parents were really uneasy about it. Her dad and mom were missionaries before. They were pastoring a church, you know. And the parents, but then her friend's dad said, hey, I won't let her ride on her own snowmobile. She'll ride on the back of mine, so it'll be safe. And they hit a patch of ice, and tragically, they both died within minutes of each other at separate hospitals. And I remember going to her funeral, right? And you're in 7th, 8th grade, 6th grade, middle school, and you can't really make out your feelings, right? You're going and you're sitting. And I remember exactly where I was sitting in the church. I was sitting in the back row in the balcony with my mom and my brother and everyone around. And then her friends started getting up. Her closer friends started getting up and talking. And people got up and they talked about what they did was they went and they found her Bible. And they found all these things she had written in her Bible in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Her love for Jesus. And the whole focus of that funeral was not on this tragedy, but this life and impact this girl had and this knowledge and this faith that they knew where she was and the hope that they had as a family, even after losing a child at such a young age, that they would be reunited with her. And you know, I struggle, people always ask, when did you realize that you were truly a believer? And I didn't know until last night. And actually, it was in that moment I realized it was at her funeral when they're talking about the hope and this faith in who God is and how he's going to bring us back. I actually believe that might have been the moment. That might have been the moment in my life where it was defined. And it was this based on this hope of this life with God. Right? I already knew about sin and needing Jesus in my life, but to tangibly make it real. And so I think one of the things that we really need to remember is to go back to this hope. You know, when we were on the staff retreat in last couple weeks ago, Pastor Joe kept talking about, and this is something I believe and have, but he did such a better job at saying it, is that we are not looking for behavioral modification. We're looking for heart transformation. And that goes back and linking to the gospel, right? We can sit and preach and preach and preach about how to live, and people can change their behavior, but if there's still so much fear about death and fear about this, and it's never like this connection to who God is in their life, what are we doing? What is the point? We might have well-behaved children. You know, I know a lot of parents who will send their kids to church, not necessarily just this one, because they know that their kids will learn to behave well. Now, as a church, we need to not look at it. Yeah, that we have to look at it as an opportunity to present the gospel so they can be transformed. But even the world, who aren't believers, realize that, and they see the church as a way to make someone behave well. But that is not the point. The point isn't about us behaving. Well, now, obviously, out of our love for God, we change our behavior. But we really need to be looking at the heart and pointing back people to Jesus, what he did and how and what he's still going to do. You know, what Jesus is still going to do. I think when you're raised in the church like I was, the gospel message, though you know it, you're not struck with awe and wonder anymore. It's just like, yeah, Jesus died for me. Yeah, Jesus is going to come again. And it's not, you wouldn't ever tell people like, yeah, it's no big deal. But you just become so accustomed to this language, to the story, that it doesn't give you this fire always. I was reading in a textbook a couple weeks ago about how when you compare the Western world to the rest of the world, and the comparison is just because the Bible, really, the Western world has been highly influenced by the church, right? Culture, everything was shaped by the church. And so when someone in that culture reads scripture, there isn't this awe and wonder. Christians who read the scripture, they've lost the awe and wonder of God because we're just become so acquainted with it and familiar, but not in that positive, like familiar, like a best friend, you excited to see them, but more like, well, they're there, we keep going. And they're saying, but when you look around the world, there are people who are reading scripture for the first time in their family or in culture, and their minds are being blown away. And I kind of felt like as I was reading this portion of scripture, God was reminding me of that he is a mind-blowing God, that he is coming back. And I think we often live our life and we so focus on the fact that Jesus died for us, which is great and wonderful and absolutely essential to our faith. But we also need to focus and have that hope that he's returning. You know, that Jesus has now replaced Adam. You know, Adam was our representative. When he sinned, we inherited his sin. That sin became our sin, right? We became a sinful nature. And Jesus flipped it. And Jesus now is our representative so that we can live a life. We still sin. There's still that that in us sin, but when God sees us, we are no longer seen with that. We're no longer seen with guilt. Jesus' righteousness has been laid over top of us. You know, and so with that knowledge, there is celebration. You know, Paul goes through this shift. He's been leading up through the entire book, right? Like, oh, I wish I was with you. I wish I could be with you. I love you. I can't wait to come back, but I can't get there. So I sent Timothy instead. And here's all this great report I hear. And then he shifts. Now let's look towards the future. You know, and when we think about how comforting, right? His last phrase, the last portion of this part was, therefore, encourage one another with these words. You know, we aren't promised that we aren't going to see death in our life. You know, this church truly believed that they were going to see Jesus come back, but they didn't. They didn't. And I know that we live in a time where there are many in the church that believe they're going to see Jesus return, but we don't know. We can have faith and hope, but we don't know. But we can encourage one another. You know, my cousin's son, I've shared this before too, I think. Gavin was, 4 years old, and he died in a very tragic accident. He was walking with my aunt along a road, and he was a hit-and-run accident. And my aunt lived, and Gavin and her dog died, which is bizarre because she was actually in the way of the car, not him. And I remember going to his funeral, and I don't really know this cousin that well. Actually, his dad saw me at the mall. He could not remember my name for the life of him. Like, he remembered my mom, and he stood there and goes, I have no idea what your name is. I'm like, wonderful. We're so close, aren't we? But at that funeral, because they, as a family, had a phrase, see you on the flip side, see you on the flip-flop, right? And so, because his parents weren't, my cousin and his, Gavin's mom were not married, and so they would take turns with him, right? And so it was kind of the phrase both parents would say to each other, say to Gavin when he would switch houses, see you on the flip-flop, see you next time. And at this funeral, the pastor embraced that phrase, see you on the flip-flop. See you, see you, see you. There isn't an end. And so I think when we are facing death, when we are facing death in our community as a body or in your family, if we have Jesus, there's hope. You know, and it's not that Jesus is coming back quietly. Jesus is going to come back with this voice that we are not going to be able to deny. The trumpets are going to sound. And I think we need to focus on that. We need to focus on the future. It's so easy to focus on ourselves and our past sin. Yeah, God wants to transform us, shape us, mold us to be more like him. But why? What's the point if Jesus doesn't come back and reunite us with him? What is the point if we don't remember that we have eternal life with him. So this morning, I just want us to, as I'm assuming P-Nate is leading worship, as P-Nate leads worship, and yep, I'll do that. I'll just talk from over here. If we can just really just focus on God's love, and let's focus on, sorry, this is awkward walking. Let's just focus on him. And really, if you are lacking, if you've had any sadness or let's just bring it to God and allow him to really just work in our life.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior, I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one, I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high, I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one, I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Saints communion and in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus, I believe in life eternal, I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, as we just were worshiping, I really just felt like God would like to reignite our fire and passion for Him, not just in cognitive knowledge, but just this hope. And so if you're struggling with this hope in this future, just struggling with awe and wonder before God, just leave that and lay that to God. Tell Him right now and just invite the Holy Spirit to reignite this passion and this awe of what Jesus has done and what He's going to do when He comes back. And let's just give thanks to God for what He's done for the body of Christ, but also for your individual life. And let's just give God some, let's just thank God for who He is. Let's lift up those in our community who are battling cancer, going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery recovery. Let's just pray for God's complete and full healing in their lives. Let's pray for those in our community who do not, or connected to our community who do not know Jesus, but also are suffering various physical issues, ailments. So let's pray for God to really just speak and open their eyes to who He is. And let's just pray for God to bring healing into their body. Let's pray for those who are battling and suffering from other various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing. Let's pray for God's comfort as they go through this daily. And let's just pray for hope that God is our healing God. Thank you. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's just pray for provision during this time, that God will supply all their needs. And let's just pray, yeah, just that they will just wait upon the Lord for the job that He's leading them to. Turn to our community focus, our mission focus. Let's pray for our church plants. Let's pray for SP Singapore, Spin, Spill, SP New York. Let's just really pray for their leaders, the leaders in their family. Let's pray that God will just continue to pour into them and that they will just have such vision. And yeah, let's just pray that God will just continue to build up our church plants. Let's pray for our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's just pray that God will just continue to lead the teachers, the pastors, the people in charge. Let's pray that God will just really plant seeds of true knowledge and love and passion for God into each of our students and our kids. Up our prayer and healing teams, IP, the Well and River. Let's just really pray, just that God will have, especially after this past weekend, and I know they had training, let's just pray that God will just continue to move through these teams and that they'll be able to really hear from God to speak into the lives of the people of this church. Lift up our outreach teams. Let's lift up SP Lights and Homie. Let's just pray as they minister in this city, as they go out, that they will just really make deep connections with the people they're ministering to and that Christ will be made known to the city through our teams. Pray for our house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's pray for East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's just really pray for such an amazing time of unity, of fellowship, and really just being able to minister to one another and just praying and hearing God's love for each other. just lift up our city. Let's just pray that God will just change the hearts and minds of everyone to see him, that their eyes will be, yeah, let's just pray during this time that where there's so much lack of hope, that we can really just help people see the hope in Jesus in this city. One more, because we prayed for the kids, and this just came to my mind. I've actually been receiving quite a bit of messages from parents that their kids are having nightmares and seeing things. And so can we just cover our kids? Let's just pray for protection, that they will, and it's our little ones. It's our, probably under the five are the messages I keep getting in. So can we just pray for covering for our kids, that they will just be able to have peace, and that the spiritual attack that's been going on our kids will just come to an end. So God, we just thank you, God. We thank you that you're a God of hope. You're a God of the future. You're the God of now, and you're the God of the past, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can just place our hope and our trust in you, not because of anything we've done, but because of what you've done, God, and that, Lord, that we can just walk in this truth, in this hope, that it will radiate off of us today and tomorrow and forever. God, I pray, Lord, and I thank you, God, that you are a God that we can have awe and wonder over. God, help us to reignite that passion if we've lost it, Lord. And we just pray also, Lord, that you will protect our children, that you will free them from seeing, God, things that aren't from you, and that instead they will see only you. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time, and enjoy. Hope to see you back here tomorrow.